Good evening. This is Stephen Otero speaking, and you're listening to Mondo Eros live on bbsradio.com. And tonight we have, I think, a very interesting topic and a very interesting, fascinating guest. He was recently profiled as the happy ending man for Philadelphia's Desperate Housewives. And soon he's going to be making a trip to Los Angeles to resettle. His website is pleasinghands.com, pleasinghandsmassage.com. And I'd like to welcome to the show right now, Hercules.
Thank you.
Thank you. And so let me get it right. It is pleasinghandsmassage.com.
Yep, pleasinghandsmassage.com.
And you are the creator of Therapeutic Sensual Massage.
Therapeutic Sensual Massage, correct.
Great, okay. Can you give us a basic idea of what Therapeutic Sensual Massage is?
Okay, well, the basic idea is that it is a full-body massage, focuses on the whole body from head to toe and everything in between. When you say therapeutic, it is a massage that does work on fixing the body, making it feel better, the whole nine yards. But then beyond the sensual part, helps relax you and create a sense of eroticism. And it goes hand in hand. It's both a massage that fixes you and a massage that makes you feel good in many ways. So that is really what it is. It's not really a complex massage. It's an all-encompassing massage, and that's how it was created. It was just really taking my knowledge of massage, since I've been doing massage for 20 years, and creating something where I can, heal the body and also please the body.
And you are a licensed professional massage therapist.
Yes, I am.
Okay. And so actually, in healing the whole, working on the whole body, This is probably what massage really should be, is nothing should be, let's say, untouched. I mean, we're talking about the whole body, and The whole body needs attention, and the whole body needs healing, and the whole body needs comforting.
Yeah, I agree. Touch is one of the oldest forms of healing that we have in society. Three ages, and massage is one of the oldest forms of healing there is, and everyone needs to be touched, from a simple hug to, a massage. And when you do massages, well, unfortunately, when you do massages in this society, in the American society, it's very limiting. Even if it's not really an intimate massage, such as what I do, even your everyday spa massages and stuff are very limiting because there's certain guidelines. But if you were to go to other countries where we're not, they're not uptight, or study other cultures, the touching of the whole body is very much encouraged. So I take it to that scope and go beyond it.
Well, how did you begin your work with massage? What drew you to study massage and to also decide that this was going to be your work?
20 years ago when I started massage, it was actually for a few things, reasons I got into it. First and foremost, I actually gave a good massage. I just, people love my massage. I was very creative with it. I seem to have a knack for finding, you know, things that are wrong with people and working them out, and I just had a good touch. In addition to that, when I started looking into massage was back in the beginning of the 90s, when HIV/AIDS was at its kind of its height, and the whole holistic bandwagon was starting, and I kind of jumped on that bandwagon as well. And it just, you know, that was part of the, those were a couple of reasons I got into it. How I got into the Therapeutic Sensual Massage was through one of my clients. Like one of my clients had come to me. And, you know, massage therapists are like hairdressers or bartenders. If you trust them, you'll talk in about anything and everything. And she told me that she found massage to be very intimate, which it is. It is an intimate thing. And she became very aroused by it. And she was very disgruntled that there were places for guys to go to get massaged and, you know, fairly decent massage and get released with it, but nothing for women, and particularly nothing for women trust. And for women, trust is a bigger thing than guys. Guys are pretty much, you know, lying down for anything and stuff. But women are, you know, want something that they can trust. So I, you know, thought about it and, you know, explored the idea, and I ended up doing it for her. And she told her best friend, and, it, you know, it stepped me on that path to start journeying down that path of, you know, pursuing this and, you know, offering this to, you know, clients and seeing, you know, that it seems that's what they need. And so hence why I'm here.
Yes, it's going to the, which is, it's accessible through your website.
Mm-hmm.
The feature article from,
yep.
It's called Sex, Very Desperate Housewives. And there's some really, I think, really touching parts of that where
mm-hmm.
the women, you know, they want this and they want to keep their marriages going, but for various reasons, several other reasons. From
mm-hmm.
either the husband being impotent, or maybe he just he's strictly a one trick pony,
mm-hmm.
and only knows one certain thing to do. That they have sought this out, and it has been able to for them to continue their marriages, but also to have satisfaction for themselves.
Yes, in offshoot of, you know, when I get started in this, it, a lot of the women liked it because it was something that was theirs. I mean, I cater to women and couples. I don't work with men. And women enjoy that I, you know, cater to them. But, you know, as the article states and as my website shows that, you know, many women come to me for different reasons. You know, some come to me for the very basic pleasure reasons, and yes, some are married, and they have their various reasons of seeing me if they're married. Obviously, you know, for unfortunate reasons, maybe a troubled relationship. Or, you know, as you mentioned, I do see some women that, and this is more for couples, even though, you know, the husbands were the ones who, in two of the cases, the husbands were the ones that wanted, who were the ones that contacted me, that they're, you know, due to circumstances, they were impotent. But then I also see women, you know, for sexual assault, you know, issues and for, physical issues, they're unable to orgasm, you know, so, there's not one particular reason why, you know, my clients just come to see me. It's not all purely pleasurable. You know, it is a pleasurable experience, but it's, you know, they have their reasons, and it's not all the same reasons each time. So
it must be extremely challenging when you're working with someone who is a sexual assault victim.
Oh yes, it is. I've had training in sexual assault. I have done lecturing and sexual assault issue, you know, dealing with people with sexual assault issues, which gave me a good starting point. For them, this is the, you know, a big step. When they get to the point where they think they can, you know, trust somebody to do something that's intimate to them. But for a lot of them, this is a good, you know, stepping stone, because being with somebody that they're afraid to give to somebody. And then in this situation, they're not giving, because they don't have to give to me. They're receiving. They're the center of the attention on the table. This is not about me. It's about them. So, which is a good start for them, because they don't have to think except for about themselves. And all they have to do is enjoy the session and, you know, allow their emotions to come out. The table is the safety zone. It basically is, when they lie on the table, they're given a set of rules. And one of the rules is that they're allowed to moan, groan, laugh, giggle, allowed to cry. And, there are a number of times that, they start crying. And it's not because they're, scared or, along those lines. They're just letting out an emotion, and crying is a release. And that's what this is about. This is about release. It's, we're working, the massage is about release. One of the aspects of it is about release, about releasing tension, releasing pain, releasing stress, and working for the ultimate release of orgasm. So it's a safety zone.
Yeah, and a powerful release often brings tears, and tears brings a powerful release.
Yes, it does. It's a double whammy. It's, if they have the orgasm, a number of clients have the orgasm, and it's not, and then they start crying, and it's, partially crying for tears of, joy that they're able to do it, crying for, the past experience, but it allows them to let go of that past experience.
Well, that must be, for you, that must be a very powerful moment.
It is. It's very, powerful. It's very gratifying that I can be that person that can help them. It can be very, it can be scary as well. But it's scary in the sense of, I'm opening something up, and I got to work very diligently with them. But it is very gratifying, and it's just when I can release even beyond the orgasm, I even feel a lot, 10 times better than I do because in this type of work, even as a regular massage therapist, when you work on somebody, and at the end of the massage, they seem all relaxed and all this, they're like, you're lying there, and they, you ask them how they're feeling. They say, oh, that felt great. Well, still, it's like, okay, you kind of, so maybe even question yourself, oh, okay, well, it was great. They're saying it was great. At least with this, what I do is that, you know, when you get these emotions and you have an orgasm or you release, you know, even laughter or, you know, or crying or anything, you get all that, that even, you know, intensifies, you know, even my feeling, because I know that I'm doing my, you know, I'm doing a good job. So I feel good after the session.
It almost in Tantra there is the talk of the Dakini and the Daka, the sacred healer. And in my mind, I see no different from what you do and from what they do. I consider you a sacred healer. You are going there with the highest of intention. You're going there to provide service and to provide healing. So
yes.
I'd like to offer that to you and as a salute.
Well, thank you. I truly appreciate that. That's, you know, what I'm actually, you know, really working for, is to be that healer for, you know, my clients. I'm not, that's what I have always been, and that's what I will continue to be.
Yes, even in the wilds of Los Angeles, California.
Even in the wilds of Los Angeles, California, yes. That's opening up into new pathways and, you know, new area. I kind of makes me a little nervous about it, but I'm also kind of anxious about, you know, exploring it out there and offering what I have there. You know, I think it's a good area to do it in.
Well, you'll definitely be closer to Desperate Housewives.
Well, yeah. We'll be definitely closer to Desperate Housewives, you know, and I look forward to the, the community out there is, you know, seems like it's going to be really accepting to what I do. So, it's just, you know, what I do is, even the articles, you know, states, as I said, I don't, you know, I work with people from all different things, you know, backgrounds and reasons why they see me. And one of the cutest lines in the article, for example, is that I'm a training wheels for swingers, which,
yeah.
You know, it's, you know, I know that, you know, out in California, you know, especially in the L.A. area, you know, swinger groups and, you know, it's pretty much the porn capital of the world and all that. That will add to, you know, kind of what I do as well. It's, you know, because I'm a healer, but I'm also the pleasurer. And as training wheels of, you know, a lot of people out there I could be, and can help them get to their, you know, to their next level of fantasy they want.
So are you a swinger?
Yes, I consider myself a swinger. I've been, you know, I've participated in the swinging lifestyle on and off throughout my years. You know, so I guess that kind of gives me a good notch, but it's always good to help people who are interested in, you know, in doing, you know, getting into, you know, either, you know, seeking being the swing, or whether they want to explore with another partner. You know, what I do gives them a safety net. It gives them the sense that, you know, allows their, for example, their husband to watch their wife be pleasured, and with safety, you know, in regards to what's being done, and allows them to judge whether they think that they're, you know, they could handle seeing their wife with another, you know, man possibly. And, you know, in the same sense, it gives the wife the same perspective. Can I allow somebody to touch me intimately? And it's, you know, so it's a good, this is also a good safety net for that.
I think that's a very good and valid idea, because I think sometimes people jump into that.
They may not be
prepared for it.
That's probably the number one, you know, thing I've found over the years, and, you know, for swingers and stuff like that, is just, you know, your husband wants to do it, you know, really bad, and, you know, really coaxes the wife. And, you know, that's the other thing. Like, for example, in my, on my website, there are questions and answers, and one of the things it says is that the, you know, the woman is in control. She controls the situation. She, you know, during the massage, at any point the person I'm working on does not feel comfortable, you know, going the full distance, and we don't go the full distance. They're in control.
Right.
But the other thing is that I don't want it, I don't encourage this to be a surprise. You know, many husbands want to, I want to do this for my wife for as a gift or something like that. Well, you need to talk with her. You know, communication is definitely key. But in the same sense as that, you know, when you're doing, going in swinging situations or even threesomes and stuff like that, it's just, you know, communication should be there. They should be pretty much on the same page and have their ground rules and whatnot, to do that. But if, and I, you know, a lot of people go head first into these situations and they'll have bad experiences. And this way, with what I do, I try to give them a good experience so that they can go, okay, well, we're comfortable with this situation. Let's try something else. So it's good.
Well, in the I know in the polyamory community, the the catchword is always communicate, communicate, communicate.
Yep.
And it's really about having those good communication skills.
Oh yeah, it's I told them, you know, I work with couples, and you know, I, as minus the working with my female clients, I work with couples, and I offer couples teaching sessions. And the two top things I tell couples, number one, communication. Communication is key in any relationship. It's, you know, you go to any relationship counselor, they'll say you need to communicate, you need to talk. So when I'm working with a couple and I'm teaching them how they do a session, how to give themselves massages, I say there is both verbal and nonverbal communication. When you're verbal, that's, you know, verbally saying, oh, that feels good, I like that, I like being touched there. You know, that's verbally being saying, and that's being honest, and you should be open. You should say what you feel. Honey, that hurts, I don't like that. Or honey, I don't like, you know, being touched that way. You know, those are, that's being verbally, not, you know, verbal communication. Nonverbal is, you know, listening to, you know, your partner by saying, using your senses. When you hear them moan, that's why, you know, I encourage my clients to moan and groan. You know, if you're working, you know, running your hands up, you know, somebody's back, and you're going, oh, well, that's, you know, if you, you know, if it sounds really good, and you ask them, does that feel good? And they go, yes. You think you've got nonverbal and verbal communication there. Then you know you're doing right. But obviously if they, you know, oh, ow, or something like that, that's, you know, bad, you know, you're hearing something, that's not good. But using your senses, you're even, you know, as when I say use your senses, you know, use your eyes, watch them. If the, you know, they start swaying their hips closer to your hands to, you know, that they want more, if you touch more there, then that's a good thing. So that's, you know, how I teach my couples how to do the things. The second thing, as I said, you know, there are two top things, is the number one sex organ in, a, you know, for people is their brain.
Yes.
And I tell them to use their brain, use your imagination. You have a brain. If you use your brain, you can be as creative as you want with your massages. You will be good. You know, you'll be good. You'll be better at what you do. So using, you know, the combination of using your brain and having communication makes for a great session for them.
What do you think is when a man approaches the idea of swinging, what is the kind of mindset that he has to get into? Is there a change in a mindset?
for men, the number one thing they got to, the mindset they go into is they got to let go of their ego. Mm-hmm. Men, it's just, you know, I think men, they bring their egos into this, and they go into these situations where they think, you know, even if they suggest it, they still want to be number one in that situation. And, you know, they want their wife to, you know, to still think they're number one. And that's where communication comes in. They should talk about that. But I always say, check your ego at the door. You know, it's like, okay, you know, number one, you know, when, like, you work in my situation, if, you know, a husband or boyfriend's watching and stuff like that, and she's really turned on, yeah, and you're wondering, if you're sitting, you can't sit there and think, well, why can't I turn her on that way? Well, you can't turn her on this way because I have many years of experience of doing this. So if you want me to teach you that, I can do, but don't take it personally. You just check your ego there and don't take it personally. I'm not the one, you know, at the end of the session, I'm the one leading. You're the one staying with her. You get to reap the benefits for this.
That's right.
So in the sense of in a swinging situation, guys just got to lead, check their ego at the door. Yes, there may be guys that you can do something that turns on your wife or whatever. You know, and if it's, she seems like really turned on about the situation, after a situation, I've been with partners where I've seen her really react to something. I'll ask them, what was it about that, you know, experience with that guy that really turned you on? Because maybe I can do it and whatnot. So that's what for guys is ego.
And it must be especially for a guy, and I know this is, this is the straight man's number one fantasy, is mm-hmm. to be able to watch two women.
Yeah.
But then afterwards, what if he finds that she really is better than him?
Well, if they find that they are you, in terms of the being with the women or two men?
Well, being with the women.
Okay. I think that it comes down to communication again. It's just,
yeah.
You know, there's always going to be, even what I do, I know there's other therapists out there that are better than I am, and there may be another therapist out there who's been doing this less time than I am, that for that particular person is better than I am. So it varies. And, you know, what do we judge better than and stuff? I think that as it comes back to communication's key, it's really understanding. So no one should ever go into swinging, you know, without talking about it. So you should have communication before, communication during, communication after. And also, if you have an insecurity, you know, communicate, you have to have honest communication. So if you think that, you know, if the person was better, okay, then you need to express that, you know, saying, you know, I think they were better than me, and I'm a little unnerved by that, okay. Or if they were better than you, you can ask them, it's like, how can I better myself to be just as good as them? So, communication.
It's something that Anton, the founder of Sexy Spirits, has said on more than one occasion that he's always found that the people who are successful at swinging
mm-hmm.
have always seemed to him to be those people who are that really, really close to what would be termed enlightenment, which would be a tantric teaching, because they're able to do all this and do it successfully and navigate it and not crack up in the process.
Yeah. I think, you know, really what it's If you say swinging, lifestyle. I mean, you could use the term lifestyle. Their lifestyle is swinging. Lifestyle is dominant. You know, being an S&M, B&B situation. You know, you could say whichever one of those. I think in any of those situations, if you're going to explore sexuality, I mean, there is basic sexuality where, you know, I undress, my partner undresses, we make love, we have sex. That's basic sexuality. If you're going to take it beyond that, you know, that's advanced. That's exploring sexuality. In order to explore, I think you need to be enlightened upon yourself. You need to know what you desire to explore. You need to learn about what you're going to explore, learn the expectations, or come up with your expectations, and see what, you know, possibilities you will, you receive from your expectation of that, exploring. Enlightenment, being self-aware of yourself is a good starting stone. I think a lot of the people, you know, again, going back to swinging or whether, you know, another lifestyle, even, you know, being a nudist or something like that, if they don't explore that, if they're not enlightened or self-aware of themselves, then they are not going to do as well. So.
And that would also include men who, I would say, who aspire, let's say, to do what you do or to be what you are.
That too. Number one, with what I do is, I am a trained therapist, and that's where my background is. And you really need a base of knowledge on how to, actually work on somebody. There are people out there, such as Anton, myself, and other people who have studied how to touch somebody. You can intimately touch somebody and do a gentle thing or a somewhat massage, but the in-depth what I do and what, other people like Anton do is a little more complex. And you can actually, if you don't know what you're doing, you can hurt somebody.
Right.
So, but anyone aspiring to do what I do, needs to know why they're doing it. Because the majority, I'm not there to do it for myself. I'm there to do it because I'm a healer and I like healing people and I'm a giver. It doesn't mean that I don't like receiving, but when I'm there with that person, I'm a healer and I'm a giver and I'm giving the person who's there the center of my attention, the center of my universe. And that's my focus. I think anyone aspiring to do that needs to have that as their thing. If they're looking to do it to try to pick up chicks or something like that, it just kind of blows up in your face and it's not you're not being productive to the person you're working on.
Right.
It brings me it brings me pleasure to heal somebody or to give pleasure. Even in my own personal, sexual experiences that I get off more getting the person off than I'm with. Because it creates a better situation. It makes more fun. So that's always been, I can receive. I've always learned how to, receive, but I'm not the same, but I like to give. And I think that anyone who's aspiring to this, as you put it, just needs to have one focus, and it should be a decent focus, you know, that they should not be trying to do this to try to get, you know, get something from it except, you know, something very positive.
Right. It's always a hallmark of when Anton is teaching his tantric massage is the first thing a man has to do is to get out of his mind the idea of, when's it going to be my turn? When's it going to be my turn? And it's like, your turn is right here, right now. It's just what you're doing. And the pleasure is in giving, and also he fully acknowledges the fact that he is turned on when he is doing that, and that is the turn on for him, is the actual doing it. And he said many times that he did this at swinger gatherings. This is where that was his laboratory. He could watch all the people copulating, but he thought he had the best seat in the house where he was right there, what he was doing.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And, yeah. No, I mean, that's a common, you know, as I said, during the session, you know, another rule is that you're allowed to ask, you know, talk about anything you want or ask me any questions you want. And one of the common questions I always get, and it even pointed out in the article as well, because I was asked, and I was honest. I said, do you get aroused by what you do? And I said, yes, I get aroused. I get turned on. It's not an uncommon thing. I'm doing a very intimate thing. However, I did point out that I could give a regular massage and still get aroused, not doing a full release session. But it's taking that energy from that arousal and I'm not going to force it upon somebody because that's not what I'm there for. What I do with that energy of being aroused is even just make the massage more intimate that they even enjoy it even further. It's a good thing. I'm aroused by, working on somebody. So it's not a bad thing. It's just, what I do with that arousal. And I try to take and make it very positive. And as I said, I take that, the energy from that arousal and just, focus it even more into my massage because if it's a good, a really good session, it can even become a better session because I can use that energy, more of that energy.
What do you see as what would you like to do when you get out to LA? What would you see as the expanding focus of your work?
Well, my expanding focus. Recently, when I first started, I've always been a practitioner. I always will want to be a practitioner. I like staying in the trenches, and I like working with clients, and I will do that until my hands fall off. But I have over the years of doing therapy, essential massage, I've started doing a couple sessions, and I've actually created some workshops and started doing some workshops. That's been was the next step, and then the recent of the interview in the magazines and such an interview like this, seeing that there are more and more people out there, because when I, started, as I said, I started 6 years ago, there really were not that many people out there. There were some, but there seems to be a community of us, starting out, So we're all kind of, starting down the same path. So my next step for me is once, I get established out there I would really like to, start an intimacy center I talked to Anton and mentioned to him and you and Maybe create a Sexy Spirits LA or, you know, whatever, but I would like to create a center. I think that having an intimacy center where people can come and take classes such as like a Sexy Spirits or Phoenix Temple or, you know, Sedona Temple out in Arizona or wherever, that's great for people to be able to do and, to learn about touching, learn about, self-exploration. And my vision per se of the Intimacy Center, is to offer the most basic of intimate things from, such as cuddle parties, to exotic and ecstatic dance or, you know, belly dancing or, you know, even tango or,
yeah.
You know, pole dancing, to, you know, workshops on, you know, masturbating to, you know, massaging to, just, you know, whatever's out there. And, you know, just try to bring everybody who's out there that's doing, you know, sacrosexual healing and, you know, type of work into the fold and to come in and bring in their class. And, you know, that's ultimately what I love. This is my vision and stuff. So that's what I would like to see now is that's what I'll be working for towards eventually.
That's interesting when you mentioned comp party, because about, I think it was last year or maybe a little bit more than a year ago, Reed, who was the founder of Cuddle Party, he was at one of the DACA Dakini conferences, and he had asked a very provocative question. He asked to all the healers out there, are you getting enough affection? And a lot of them weren't.
Are they getting enough affection? What?
Were they the healers getting enough affection?
I mean, you're asking me if I'm getting enough affection. I get enough affection. I am engaged, and I will be living. You know, my fiance and I will be working together. And
oh, great.
So, unfortunately, she lives across the country, so that affection only comes at certain times. But I'm a very affectionate person in the terms that I'm also, you know, one of the other reasons why I got into massage is that I'm a touch hog, you know, because I believe in touch and, I'm a big guy and I give these great big bear hugs and I love hugs. So I, you know, one of my clients is that they, you know, we always give each other hugs, you know, to be affectionate towards each other and to be supportive, and I take affection in that way. So, you know, anyone's willing to give me affection, you know, it's great. I highly believe in it. So,
yeah, and we are a terribly touch deprivated society.
Oh yes, I agree. You know, it's, you know, why cuddle parties and things like that fascinate me. And it's, you know, or just, yeah, in general, it's that, you know, people not willing to touch each other or even just with massage itself. It's just, you know, it's in other cultures, massage is, you know, for some countries, it's, you know, part of their, you know, your health plan that you go to get massage and,
yeah.
Or, you know, in certain countries they have these great halls that people line up and, you know, yeah. I know in China, for example, with acupuncture, they have this table and the doctor goes from one table to another, or they won't, you know, other cultures, they won't hesitate to get massage, but here, unfortunately, massage is just one of those things that's looked at as a luxury, not a necessity. And, you know, for me, massage is a necessity. It's, you know, a body necessity. It's, it's, you know, your body's a machine like everything else, and it needs to be repaired. And massage is one of those, you know, necessities that, you know, it's one of the oldest, as I said, it's one of the oldest forms of healing. And it just helps you recharge in so many ways. And to have, you know, and, you know, I've taught, like, classes on self-massage. You know, things you can easily do a lot of things for yourself. But it's also, it's so much better just to go and have somebody do something for you because, number one, you know, again, you're relinquishing and you're allowing yourself to be pampered. And, you know, you're allowing you, the person to make you the center of the universe, which is nice to be. And, in the same sense also that, you know, you have people who are caring for, you know, by touching. And that's a very good thing, you know, but, and I, you know, I believe that, you know, touch, you know, should start at, as soon as you're born. And I've taught massage for parents to teach, you know, to give their kids, you know, newborn kids, you know, massages. It's a, you know, it's very good. It's a great way to get yourself acquainted with your child. But it's also a great way for them to accept touch. And I think that's one of the things in this society, I think we're unwilling to accept touch.
Yes. I think we have such a strong guard, such a strong Puritan armor.
Yes.
Well, I would ask you, are you familiar with Wilhelm Reich?
Not off the top of my head. You need to tell me a little more about him.
He was a protege of Freud's, but he broke ranks with Freud. He really believed that orgasm was the true method of healing. And he, you know, he is basically considered the godfather of all body workers. His work and his teachings would truly open up the need for touch and for that to really, and several other people, took him as inspiration.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree. You know, one reason, the ways I explain the work I do is that massage is, you know, as I said, it's about release. And if you have a really good massage, if you have somebody that works on all parts of your body, and, you know, minus working on, you know, the groin area in that sense, but it gives you a really good massage, you feel like there's energy releasing off your body, just coming off. And then when, you know, you do mind massage and you have that relief, that energy just, you know, it's coming off your body. But when you have the orgasm, it feels now like it's just pouring out from the inside of your body as well. And, you know, there are studies that, you know, show that, you know, it just, found also that with people, it's just when you have that orgasm, I mean, it can release so many things. It can release, you know, so many emotions because you have so much there. But the energy that somebody feels, it also will either be drained, physically drained, and then wake up, or they'll be released and they'll be like, oh, I'm ready to go. You've released everything. I'm walking on earth. And the other thing I have, one of the reasons, you know, as I said, in addition to the orgasm and, you know, whether, you know, the clitoral orgasm or G-spot orgasm, you know, after the massage, you know, of course you get that kind of look on your, you know, the client gets that kind of look like, oh God. How do you feel? It's like, oh God, I feel good. How does the whole body feel? It feels great. I go through these things. I tell them it's, number one, when you get off this table and you don't have to get off the second, take it slow. Your feet tend not to work well. Once they get up, unfortunately, I've had a couple people take nosedives because, they got up too fast and they weren't situated. And that's because the release from their body was just so intense. And, I totally agree with that. It's just, the orgasm is such a powerful thing. And I've read things and heard about things, studies about, the whole misnomer that not tonight, honey, I have a headache. Well, studies have shown that if you actually have sex and you have an orgasm during that sex, that the blood pathways will open up and you will lose that headache. And plus it feels good. Or, for men should masturbate. Women should masturbate just as, men, women should masturbate. That because you're letting the stagnation that, that is built up there, that it helps create, fluidity, creates movement. And in massage, that's one of the biggest keys, things is that massage creates movement. And there are diseases that don't like movement. Cancer is one of them. When I first started many years ago, we weren't supposed to touch cancer, people with cancer. Now there is cancer massage. I've studied about cancer massage. Some of my clients are cancer survivors. They really preach the movement because, massage doesn't, help with movement. But when I'm, regarding with the release, the masturbation, they said, there was, I read a study from American Medical Journal or one of studies someplace, that recommend masturbation for men because it created movement within their prostate and their, the canal, which helps move everything along. That's good. In lecture with Anton from Sexy Spirits, and he was saying, and I agree with it because this is also, a thing that spills over into the massage and chiropractor and health community, that, gravity is really a human being's number one enemy, because gravity is always pushing it down. And in addition to physically what it does to your body in terms of your skeletal and all that stuff, gravity with your insides is also pushing down. Majority of the time you're standing or sitting, so all the toxins and stuff that are in your body tend to go down. And where they're going to congregate, they're going to congregate down into your core area of your base, your groin, and they're going to push all that out. So you have, in addition to physical energy or along those lines, you have, body energy, physical energy, waste energy or, fluid stuff that's there that can be, if you work on it, you move it around, it gets recycled out of the body. Because partially that's what massage is that it's a recycler. Your body is this great thing. It recycles and has its kidneys and liver and all that, which takes in the stuff and sends out the good stuff out in your body, and your bad stuff gets recycled out. Well, a lot of that stuff gets stuck there. So in terms of, going back to just the basic of masturbation, that helps with, get it out. It helps get that stuff moving out of your body, the lower region of your body into, be expelled. So I definitely a high proponent of that, too.
So you're speaking of male masturbation with ejaculation.
Male masturbation with ejaculation. Women, you know, I'm also speaking of women masturbating, whether, you know, it be, you know, to, you know, just, you know, a regular clitoral, you know, orgasm, you know, not just, you know, an orgasm creates, you know, muscle movement. Muscle movement is very good. You know, even, I also do prenatal massage, and I, you know, have some women that I do with pleasing hands massage that are pregnant. You know, we have, you know, certain ways of doing it. But, you know, there have been some studies also shown that masturbating while you are pregnant, getting the muscles in addition, you probably could do Kegels and strengthening the birth canal prior to pregnancy, and masturbation being one of the ways to strengthen your birth canal, will make for a much more successful birth, make birthing easier. You know, so not only that, you, as you know, prior going back was saying, becking, you know, waste out of your body, but you're also strengthening the muscles and you know, making that a lot better so that you can expel stuff easier.
Oh, that's really cool.
It is.
In the sessions, have you helped a woman to what's called ejaculate or squirt?
Yes, it is. I have a number of my clients can do it. It is something I kind of shoot for because it's a very intense, you know, and very intense for a client. Theoretically, every woman can do it. It's just allowing yourself to do it. From experience that, an orgasm for women compared to a man is a very different thing. Men, for example, majority of the time, if they have issues with orgasm, it's usually a physical thing, a physical problem that's really creating it. For women, orgasm can be physical, but it's also a lot of times very much mental, a mental thing that they don't do, that they won't allow themselves to do it. They're not, you know, they're scared of it. They don't know, you know, some women don't know what an orgasm is, that they don't think they deserve the orgasm, so they don't allow themselves to do it. So that's, you know, one thing I have to, you know, work with. But if I can get a woman to the point where she is that aroused and to that point, that she's able to ejaculate, that's a great thing. And it's all, you know, ultimately the, you know, the icing on the cake for them, that they just, you know, majority of the time that once they get to that point, they're able to squirt. They're also a lot of times going into multiple orgasms, and they're going and going and going, and I don't even really, majority of the time I don't really have to do anything. I just kind of have to, you know, rub a little bit, and then boom, there they go, and they're off, and they're just looking at me. And the ones that have never experienced it, you know, think it's the greatest thing in the world. It does sometimes take a little coaxing because, you know, it's an unusual experience. I always, when it comes to orgasm, I always think, or, you know, getting aroused and getting to orgasm. It's, I always use this analogy with my clients, and it comes from Jeff Foxworthy, where he says, men are like bottle rockets. It's like, pop, ooh. Women are like diesel engines. It takes a while to heat them up, but once they go and go and they go. And that, you know, analogy is kind of, it's funny, but it's true.
It
takes some time, and you know, but you know, for a guy, that's, you know, that's why I also encourage, you know, these, you know, when training my, you know, stuff, and I encourage them with massage, because massage is one of the ultimate forms of foreplay, that it's very good because you can make your session last longer, you can get her aroused, and you know, you can get to the point where that you can have, if you get her aroused enough and she's close to, you know, orgasming, and you start kind of concentrating on a man and stuff like that, and you can both have an orgasm together, it's easier to do that. But the, you know, that's the ultimate thing, is working for the ejaculation part. It's like, you know, teaching them how to do that is also a very good thing. But, you know, it's, as I said, it's the whole ejaculation experience for women is like the icing on the cake.
Incredible. It's every time when I see that, especially when we do the demos, it's always just an amazing experience.
Oh, it is.
To watch that,
yeah.
And to be in the presence of someone who can do that and do it confidently. That's why it's always like a little sad for me when I hear someone, particularly a woman, not so much denigrating it, but like, well, you were there the other night, where that woman said she called it like a mess.
It is a mess. Be messy and stuff, but it's also the abstinence scale. As I said, there are women who are, you know, embarrassed and aren't able to orgasm. I kind of looked, you know, as you were saying about this person, and, you know, that was there, and for the people listening, it's just this person mentioned that it's messy and all that stuff, but you're able to do this wonderful thing. You are able to have an orgasm. There are women out there not able to have orgasm. I know there are women out there that would want to make that mess. You should relish that mess. Yes, at times it gives me messy. Put a sheet, put a towel down or something like that. I think it's something that you should really be, you know, proud of. You know, women should be very proud of being able to do, because it's not a horrifying thing. It's a very natural thing, and it just, as I said, you know, to get to that level of, you know, to that level to be able to do that, means that you are very aroused. I just worked with a client, recently who, you know, she starts laughing, she gets so aroused, she starts to orgasm, and she, you know, is able to squirt, but she also just laughs, and she loves it. She just, you know, she has embraced that whole, you know, experience, and she just, you know, relishes it because it feels so good. So it's, you know, I don't think it, you know, should be something that anybody, any woman should be embarrassed of. And in the same sense, no man should ever, you know, put down. Because if you're able to get a woman to do that, then, you know, she's really aroused, and she really is into you, and she, you know, really is enjoying what you're doing to her. So it should never be discouraged.
Yes, I had said that afterwards. I said to her, please don't, you know, I mean, I, don't not to say that, not to think that. If you could, you should use the word Amrita, which is the tantric term for it. It's the sacred nectar of the goddess, and you should be thrilled that you can do that. Like you said, there's so many women out there who can't and who would be so envious of her ability to do that. And so, so goddesses out there, embrace your Amrita.
Yes, I agree. It's amazing with, you know, I would say, over the years that I've been doing this, of, if I was to put in percentage, I would say a third of my, you know, clients have never experienced orgasm. And, you know, it's just, and I have one particular client, one of my first clients who's on my page, on my website, who has reviewed with, you know, has a review up there, came from a very, you know, religious background of growing up. She also was in a marriage when she was very young. She, you know, had kids. Her husband's idea of sex was, you know, insert, preferably someplace wet, and thank you, I'm going to turn over and go to sleep now. And she finally got to, you know, older, and she was like, I can't live this way anymore. And she's, you know, decided, all right, I'm done. I'm, you know, this marriage is over. I leave this marriage. And she wanted to start fresh. And she threw all these things out there that she wanted to do. And she, one of the things she wanted to do, and she found me just, by chance, and she read my website, and, she wanted to know who she wanted to explore herself, sexually. But she wanted to do it in a safe way, you know, because, you know, I'm not going to be having sex with her, I'm going to be helping her explore herself. So we, you know, she came to me, she told me, she informed me she never had an orgasm. It took 3 months of working together that before she was able to have an orgasm. I've been seeing her for 5 years now, and she's now able to have an external, you know, she's able to ejaculate.
Wow.
She, you know, and she loves it. Because she allowed herself to be, you know, to be accepting of those things and to able to work at it. So it's a great thing.
Well, I like to quote from the article, the ending of the article. Even in an age in which sex toy parties have replaced Tupperware nights, it's still the few and the brave among women who hire a professional to help them get off. And it's the even fewer and braver men who have stepped up to the task and figured out how to meet these women's needs in a way that satisfies their female clients as opposed to their own libidos.
Yes, it's a great cleansing quote.
And with that, I like to, first of all, thank Hercules and also to salute him, because he is a man who has done that, who has proven this time and time and again, and he is a true champion of this, and well deserving of your name, sir.
Oh, thank you. I will. I appreciate the thanks, and I will continue on doing what I do, and I will see where this takes me, and to, you know, and I will be there for my clients as always.
Do people ever call you Herc?
Yes, people call me Herc. My client, my certain clients will even call me Herky. I have all sorts of little nicknames for Herc.
Well, it truly was a pleasure, Hercules, and I want to thank you once again, and thank you to all the listeners out there who make this continuing possible. This is Stephen Otero speaking. We will return next week, same time. And you have been listening to Mondo Eros live on bbsradio.com. Thank you, and